You've got this killer app idea buzzing in your head, right? Something amazing for iPhones, iPads, maybe even a Mac.
Happens all the time.
But before you write a single line of code, you hit, well, maybe the first and possibly the biggest roadblock. What language do you actually build it with? It feels like the options have just, you know, exploded lately.
Yeah, it's definitely not the one-size-fits-all world it used to be. I mean, for years, if you were building for Apple, Objective-C was pretty much the only game in town.
Ah, the old reliable veteran. Mm-hmm. But now, stand at the starting line feels, well, overwhelming. There are so many potential paths, and picking the right one feels really crucial before you even begin.
Absolutely. And it matters whether you're, say, a solo founder of the big vision or, you know, an established business looking to beef up your digital presence. Mm. That initial choice, it can have huge ripple effects down the line.
Mm.
We've actually been digging into a really useful article that tackles exactly this question.
Okay, let's dive in then. We're unpacking a recent blog post. It's titled Top Languages for iOS App Development. Gives us a solid look at the landscape heading into 2025.
Sounds good.
So our mission here is to pull out the essential insights from this piece, get a handle on the different options, their strengths, and crucially, highlight the key factors you need to weigh up when making this decision for your project. Hmm. Think of this as maybe your shortcut to feeling informed on this foundational step.
Yeah, and it's a great guide because it frames the decision, not just technically, but strategically too. It acknowledges that whole shift away from Objective-C has opened up this diverse toolkit.
Oh.
And the best choice, it really depends on the specific project needs.
Right.
It even points out how regional factors can play a role, mentions the Sydney market, for instance.
Interesting. Okay. So the article lays out what it sees as the Magnificent Seven, the primary options for building iOS apps today. Let's run through them, starting with the one that's still firmly in the lead, according to this analysis, Swift.
Swift. Yeah, no surprise there. It's Apple's native language, designed, you know, from the ground up to work seamlessly within their ecosystem.
Yep.
Its strengths are really why it remains dominant. Things like strong type safety. That means the compiler catches loads of common errors before you even run the code, saves huge debugging time.
Right. Catches them early.
Exactly. Okay. It also has a robust memory management, integrates effortlessly with Apple's powerful frameworks. And features like Async Await make handling tasks that take time, like fetching data over the network, much, much more straightforward.
And the analysis points out Apple isn't slowing down either. They mentioned Swift 6.0, including better macros and improved actors. Sounds like they're actively enhancing it, especially for handling complex concurrent tasks more easily.
That's right. It's clearly where Apple is putting its energy for native development. Now, following Swift, the article highlights Swift UI.
Ah, okay. Not quite the same thing. No, often confused. But Swift UI is actually a framework for building user interfaces. The article emphasizes it because it represents this fundamental shift in how you build UIs on Apple platforms.
And the key change there is that declarative syntax, right? Makes the UI code feel much simpler, easier to read compared to the older ways.
Way simpler. Plus, you get things like real-time previews while you're coding. Built-in accessibility features are much better handled. And it works smoothly across all Apple devices, iPhone, iPad, Mac, Watch.
That consistency across devices must be a huge plus.
It is. And what really stands out is the anecdote they cited. A lead developer mentioned using Swift UI lets them complete standard UI development tasks in less than half the time.
Less than half. Wow.
Yeah. That kind of efficiency gain is massive for project timelines. Really significant.
That's the sort of detail that really grabs your attention. Okay, now moving to the language we started with, Objective-C. The article is pretty clear. It's not the the go-to for brand new projects anymore.
No, not usually. But it's far from irrelevant. It's the veteran that's still supporting a vast amount of existing kit out there.
Right.
Its core strengths.
Right.
It has a mature runtime environment and certain dynamic features that Swift doesn't quite have, which can be incredibly useful when you need flexibility at runtime, maybe manipulating how a code behaves on the fly, that sort of thing.
So its main role now is really for companies that have these large, established Objective-C code bases and need to add features or just maintain them without a complete, very costly rewrite.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It makes integrating stuff within those existing systems much more manageable than trying to bridge to a totally different language.
Makes sense. Okay, now we pivot to the cross-platform contenders. First up, React Native. This one's a champion for a reason, right? Big name.
It is, yeah. Primarily because it lets you write code in JavaScript, a language you know, familiar to millions of web developers, and then deploy it on both iOS and Android from a single code base.
That single code base is the big appeal.
Huge appeal. It dramatically speeds up initial development, and features like hot reloading mean you see changes almost instantly without recompiling the whole app. Big time saver during development.
And that massive ecosystem of third-party libraries must be a huge draw, too. Plus, the article notes that recent architectural enhancements in 2024 have significantly closed the performance gap, making React Native apps feel even more native.
Yeah, that's a really important point. It kind of raises the question, doesn't it? How much does that maybe marginal difference in native feel matter compared to the really substantial gains in development speed and cost reduction you get from one code base?
Depends on the app, I guess.
Totally depends on your app's needs.
Oh, okay. Speaking of cross-platform and efficiency, Flutter uses Dart. The article highlights this as a rising star, particularly popular, it notes, among developers here in Australia.
Yeah, Flutter, backed by Google, it's really known for delivering smooth performance and visually consistent, often beautiful UIs using its widget-based system.
Widgets, right.
And the fact that the UI looks the same across every iOS device, regardless of screen size or model, that's a major benefit, especially for like visually centric apps.
Ah, okay. Good for branding consistency.
Exactly. And like React Native, you get one code base for all platforms and very fast development iterations, again, thanks to its own hot reload feature.
That UI consistency is definitely a huge plus for design and development effort. Then there's Kotlin multi-platform. The article positions this one as more of a pragmatic choice.
Yeah, pragmatic is a good word. Kotlin, primarily known for Android development, right? But it's expanded to allow sharing business logic across both iOS and Android. The key difference here is that while the core logic is shared, the UI layer is still built using the native frameworks. So SwiftUI or UIKit for iOS, Jetpack Compose for Android.
Oh, interesting. So you unify the complex backend logic like data handling or business rules, but you still get that truly native look and feel on each platform.
That's the idea. The best of both worlds, potentially. The anecdote they shared from an Australian director about achieving consistency while still offering a native user experience, that really captures the appeal of this approach.
Yeah, I can see that. Striking a balance.
Exactly. It simplifies the complex core of the app while still respecting the distinct UI and UX patterns users expect on each operating system.
Okay. And finally, maybe the most surprising entry of the article calls the newcomer, Python via Apple's PyBridge. That sounds different.
It is a bit different. It's not really about building the entire UI in Python. It's more about leveraging the language and its vast ecosystem for specific tasks within an iOS app.
So how does that work?
Well, the article points out its strength lies in using existing Python libraries and expertise. So it makes it ideal for integrating things like machine learning models, doing data analysis, or even scientific computing directly into an app.
Ah, okay. So it's not for every app, but if your app's core value involves, say, heavy data processing or AI features, and you already have Python expertise on your team, this provides a path to bring that into the iOS context without a full language switch.
Exactly. Yep. It's definitely a niche, but potentially a really powerful option for specific data-driven workloads. And it could enable rapid prototyping for those kinds of features too.
Fascinating. Okay, so we've covered the seven main players, according to the article, but it's quick to emphasize that the language itself is only, you know, part of the equation. Several other critical factors need to influence your decision.
Oh, absolutely. You have to look beyond just the technical specs. The development timeline, for instance, is paramount. How quickly do you need to get this app built and into users' hands?
Right. If speed is the absolute priority, the article suggests SwiftUI and Flutter are fantastic for fast UI development. React Native is great for rapid prototyping the whole app across platforms, while purely native Swift might be maybe slower initially, but allows for that deep performance-focused optimization if that's critical later on.
That's a good summary of it. And then, obviously, budget, a massive factor. The article highlights that these cross-platform frameworks, React Native and Flutter, they can potentially cut development costs by a really significant margin.
That's significant.
It quotes figures like 30-40% reduction compared to building two separate native apps.
Wow, 30-40%. That potential saving is huge, especially for startups or, you know, businesses with limited resources.
It really is. And it's interesting, the article also mentions that that's a real consideration, which leads into the next big factor, the long-term view. Maintenance. You're not just building an app, you're committing to supporting it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And the analysis makes a pretty strong case that pure Swift development offers the best long-term maintainability within the Apple ecosystem itself.
Whereas the cross-platform frameworks, though efficient initially, they introduce dependencies on those frameworks themselves. So that could pose maintenance challenges down the road as both the platforms and the frameworks evolve.
That's the trade-off you need to consider, yeah.
Yeah.
And tied into maintenance is a very practical, non-technical factor, just developer availability. Can you actually find skilled engineers in your chosen language for ongoing updates and support?
Good point. Which kind of brings us back to the local flavor the article mentioned. It highlights some specific trends visible in the Australian market, like Sydney and Melbourne, being big tech hubs, have high demand for skilled Swift developers.
Which isn't surprising, given Swift's status as the native standard. Makes total sense.
And apparently, many Australian startups are opting for React Native, which also makes sense, given the pressure to move fast and reach both iOS and Android users quickly.
That speed to market is often key for startups.
Yeah. And interesting to see more enterprise clients in Australia specifically asking for Kotlin multi-platform apps. Likely attracted to that balance we talked about, the shared logic, but native feel.
Seems like a good fit for larger organizations wanting consistency and native UX.
While retail and hospitality companies in the region are leaning towards Flutter, probably drawn, I guess, to its ability to create beautiful, consistent UIs rapidly across different devices, essential for customer-facing apps.
Yeah, that visual consistency and fast UI dev is probably the big draw there. It really shows how local market dynamics, specific business needs, and even the available talent pool can influence which technologies gain traction beyond just the pure technical merits.
Definitely. So wrapping this all up, the article's core conclusion seems really clear and, well, essential. There is no single best language. It's not that simple.
Not at all. The right choice is deeply personal to your project, your resources, your team, and your goals.
And the source's guidance seems to be, if you're building an app purely for Apple devices, no cross-platform needs, aiming for the most integrated, long-term, sustainable solution within that ecosystem, then Swift is presented as the gold standard.
Pretty much, yeah. But if maximizing efficiency, speed, and platform reach from a single code base is paramount for you, then options like React Native and Flutter offer really compelling alternatives that you have to consider seriously.
And the final piece of advice, which resonates strongly, is pragmatic. The most successful projects often start not just by picking a language in isolation, but by actually consulting with experienced developers. People who can help you evaluate these options specifically through the lens of your business context and your unique requirements.
Absolutely. It's about getting tailored guidance. It underscores that this isn't just some technical puzzle. It's really a strategic business decision that warrants careful thought.
Yeah. This deep dive really lays out the current options and, just as importantly, those crucial factors that sit alongside the technical details. Understanding this landscape is, well, absolutely essential for making an informed choice about how to build your app.
It really is. And what's fascinating here, thinking about the source, is how quickly this landscape is evolving.
Yeah.
You know, we saw the mentions of updates to Swift 6, React Native's architecture. It changes fast.
True.
So thinking about your project and given this rapid pace of change, how might the potential future evolution of these technologies, say in the next few years, influence the decision you make today? Or maybe how does that specific regional context, like we saw in Australia, underscore the importance of looking beyond just the tech specs to make the right call for you?
That's a really insightful question to ponder. Food for thought. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.